In the name of God, the Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer of the universe. Amen. Amen. The calling to be the church in the world. The calling to be a disciple of Jesus is a very demanding call. Our ancestors in the faith, the Hebrew people, knew that the call was demanding. They knew that they had to journey a great deal to become the people that God wanted them to be, a people who could show forth the liberating love of God to the whole world. People of Israel had been enslaved in Egypt by the Pharaoh, and they had cried out to God. And Scripture tells us that God heard the cry of the slaves, raised up a leader to go to Pharaoh and demand that the people be set free. Eventually, after great conflict, the people of Israel are led out of captivity and cross the Red Sea. The Midrash, which is the Jewish Midrash, which is sort of a folk commentary on Jewish history, scripture, and tradition, says that no sooner had the people of Israel crossed over the Red Sea than they began to complain that they had a God who led them to a place where they got their feet so muddy. In our reading today from the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, the people of Israel are on the other side of the sea. They have come out of Egypt. They are in the wilderness. It's a wilderness named Sin. The people have physically come out of bondage, but they have not mentally come out of bondage. There is a difference between being set free literally and having a mind that has been set free. One can enculturate, interiorize the oppression of the oppressor. They're in the wilderness and they begin to complain. They complain to Moses and Aaron, and what they say is, "We want to go back to Egypt. Here in this wilderness, it's too hard. Here in this wilderness, we're going to starve to death. We should never have listened to you. We want to go back. We had it better in Egypt. At least in Egypt, we had food." Reading tells us that Moses and Aaron are at their wits' end, saying, "Why in the world did we ever accept this calling?" They sound like a lot of clergy that I've talked to over the years. But the Lord comes to Moses and Aaron and says, "I will feed the people." Scripture says that they were fed quail, they got meat, and there was a frost-like substance that when you gathered it, you could roll it into a kind of dough and make bread. They call that manna. Now, the word manna is not a regular Hebrew word. It's a slang Hebrew word. And the best translation of that word is, "What is this?" What is this? The people of Israel, in their journey to freedom, would have a lot of "what is this" moments. They would journey for 40 years. The Midrash says that it takes at least 40 years to lose a slave mentality. It takes, they said, at least 40 years to rid yourself of what the oppressor has told you you are. It was a long journey. It was a long journey. It was a difficult journey. And the people knew crisis, they knew conflict, but they also knew that God had called them to be a new people, a different kind of community. And they were on that journey to what they call the Promised Land. In our gospel reading today from the 6th chapter of John's gospel, Jesus, as I'm sure you remember from last Sunday's gospel, Jesus has just fed a large group of people, and he and his disciples leave for Capernaum. Part of the crowd follows them, and when they show up, Jesus discerns that this part of the crowd, at least, is not so much interested in what he is teaching, what he is seeking for the people to understand, but they're primarily interested in a free lunch. They want more bread and fish. And Jesus says to them, "You have just come out here because you think you're going to get some sort of free lunch. But I want to tell you that what you need to be concerned about is whether or not you were seeking to have God's will done in your life, whether or not you are seeking to become a liberating presence in the world in which you live." Jesus said, to do that, you don't need just the bread that's made out of wheat. You need what John calls and Jesus called the bread of life. And Jesus said, if you want to know what the bread of life looks like, listen to what I'm saying. Look at what I am doing. The bread of life is that which heals. The bread of life is that which enables the blind to see. The bread of life is that which sets the prisoner free. The bread of life is that which can transform a person into a different person. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus says, and you will be fed on the bread of life. And when you are fed on the bread of life, you will be able yourself to become a life-giving person. But becoming a life-giving person, being fed on the bread of life, means that you must be willing to go through a transformation process in which you die to the old, in which you learn to trust God, which you learn to love your neighbor. You know, the people of Israel were told that they could only collect manna for one day. That was it, except for the preparation for the Sabbath day. And that was because they had to know that on their journey, they had to trust God daily. They had to learn to trust God each day. The writer to the church in Ephesus, the author of the epistle to the Ephesians, speaks in what we hear as a rather harsh language. He's speaking to a Christian community, and he says to them, "Brothers and sisters, stop acting like children and grow up. You need to mature in the faith. You need to grow up in the faith. You need to stop being little children in the faith and grow up. You need to speak the truth in love and be truth in the world in which you live. You need to reflect the truth that Jesus teaches in your daily lives. You need to mature, grow up. You need to be involved in a transformation process in which you are daily dying to the old slave mentality and developing a new mentality, a new way of being in the world. I'm sure the congregation in Ephesus said, "Thanks a lot for that sermon. Thanks a lot for coming by and letting us know what it is that we need to do." Very often, the church seeks to proclaim a message other than grow up in the faith. A message that is very different than you need to learn to journey through the wilderness. And if you're following Jesus, you will know that. Very often, we proclaim a message that says something like, if you want peace and comfort in your life, come to Jesus and you've got it made. Or we want to proclaim a prosperity gospel that says, if you are having economic problems, just come to Jesus and you will have it made. That did not work so well for St. Francis of Assisi or Jesus himself, as a matter of fact. Meister Eckhart, the great Rhineland mystic, says that people have different definitions of God, but he believed that in the Christian community, the primary understanding that most Christians in his day had of God was that God was a milk cow. And that if they came to God, what they would get would be cream and cheese. And that's what they wanted. He said they didn't expect to be called to die to the old self and take up their cross and follow Jesus. We live in a world which is in great need of spiritual transformation. The late Mother Teresa of Calcutta said on more than one occasion, the loneliness, the emptiness, the materialism in the West is a hunger that is more difficult to satisfy than the hunger of the poor in Calcutta. The hunger in the West, the emptiness, is a hunger more difficult to satisfy than feeding the poor in Calcutta. Again and again, we are called by Scripture to turn to the God who is present to us in whatever wilderness we find ourselves. And we are called that we will to see that we will have many what is this moment. And we are called to see that in many of those, what is this moment, we will be learning to turn again to the bread of life that sustains us. We will learn again and again that the gospel is good news, but for most of us, at first, it's bad news, because it calls us to be in this world in a different way. It calls us to embrace values that sometimes place us in conflict with our culture. Trinity is in the process of providing hospitality to 10 Salvadorians who will be moving into the Baring House this afternoon until they can become a little clearer about their next move. They are legally in the country, But they are a people who have gone through a horrendous journey in the last 8 months. They have traveled through a wilderness that many of us cannot even imagine. One of the key values in the gospel is the value of hospitality. It is a primary. Again and again, we are told that we are to welcome the stranger, take the stranger into our midst. And Matthew, in the 25th chapter of his gospel, says to us that when you take in the stranger, you take in Jesus. When you take in the stranger, you take in the bread of life, and you are enabled in that moment to become yourself the bread of life. As I was thinking this week about the Salvadorian family, as I was thinking this week about the gospel text, the scriptural text I was reflecting on, about the demands of following Jesus, I thought of another reality that comes out of El Salvador. I thought of a young woman named Jean Donovan. Jean was a lay missionary in El Salvador from Ireland. Jeannie was raped and killed in 1980 by Salvadorian soldiers. Shortly before she was killed, she wrote a letter to a friend of hers in Ireland. And in that letter, she said, many times, I've thought of leaving El Salvador. It is very difficult for me working here. I could leave, she said, except for the children. Those poor, abused victims of this insane violence. Whose heart, she said, could ever be so hard as to do the reasonable thing and leave? And leave these children in a loneliness and a sea of tears. She stayed. Jeannie had matured in Christ, and she had learned that unless you have that for which you are willing to give your life, you are not fully alive. We are on a journey that is demanding. It demands that we grow up. It demands that we embrace gospel values. It demands that we learn to love our neighbor. It demands that we love those children for which Jeannie was willing to give her life, not separate them from their parents and lock them up in cages. We are on a journey. We are on a journey into Christ. We believe that God is sustaining us. We believe that we will have moments of, what is this? But we know that we can trust the one who calls us. So, my dear friends, in whatever wilderness you find yourself today, journey on. Let there be peace among us, and let us never be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression.